Amen. Thank you. It's a great golfer from Argentina, Robert DiVincenzo. He once won a tournament, and after he received a very sizable check in front of the camera and the crowds, he walked to his car alone in the parking lot. A young woman saw him, and she came up to him and told him her child was seriously ill and was near death. She told him she didn't know how she was going to pay all the doctor's bills and hospital expenses. DiVincenzo was so touched by her story, he took out a pen and he endorsed his check over to her. And then he said, "Make some good days for you and your baby." The next week, he was having lunch at a country club when a PGA official came over to him and asked him if the rumors he'd heard were true. Did he really sign over his winnings to that woman in the parking lot? Vincenzo nodded yes. And the official said, "Well, I have some news for you. She's a phony. She has no sick baby. She's not even married. She fooled you." "You mean there's no sick baby who's dying?" Vincenzo said. "That's right," said the official. And with a long breath, Vincenzo said, "That's the best news I've heard all week." It must be nice to have Vincenzo's view, to see the bigger picture, to not be so focused on just what's in front of you at the moment, but to only be concerned that there's no baby dying. What a gift to see beyond current circumstances, to see the bigger picture, and to see what's most important. Because it's not so easy to do that, is it? It's easy to only see the loss of money or material things. It's so easy to start worrying about what others are going to think now about what we've done. And it's all too easy on Palm Sunday to only see the palm branches waving in the air, to not see the cross that awaits. I imagine Jesus saw it, though, as he rode into Jerusalem on that triumphal day. I imagine Jesus saw the bigger picture, saw all the people and watched them lay down their coats and palm branches for him like Angie did with the children. And I imagine he heard them shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus must have seen and heard all of that, but I imagine he also saw more. He saw the whole picture. He always did. He always knew the cross was there waiting for him. And he knew the same people who shouted "Hosanna," some of them would turn around and start shouting "Crucify him." Jesus always knew the whole story. But the people, they needed a savior. They needed a king that would save them from the Roman authority. They needed someone to rescue them. And when they saw Jesus coming in on a donkey, they shouted "Hosanna," which means "save us." They had such hope that the Blessed One would be the king they were expecting. But he wasn't. And he didn't do the kind of saving they had hoped for. So by the end of the week, they turned on him. But he knew this. He knew this because the view he had sitting on that donkey was the view of the whole picture of what God intended to do. Jesus saw everything and he knew. He knew he would go from triumph and palm branches to sitting down to the Passover meal to have his last supper with his disciples. And he knew Judas would be there and would betray him, but he'd still wash his feet, and he'd still give him the bread of his life. And he knew he would enter the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat drops of blood, praying for God to let this cup pass from him. But he knew it wouldn't. He knew God's will was to be done. He knew the cross was waiting. He'd seen it from the donkey. He'd seen it from the very beginning. He'd seen how the ones who shouted Hosanna would soon be shouting crucify him. He saw the whole picture. Leonardo da Vinci was in the habit of seeing the whole picture as well as a painter. While painting the Last Supper, da Vinci asked a young man named Petri Bandolini to sit for him as he painted Christ onto the canvas. Then, for the next 25 years, da Vinci worked on completing the whole picture. Finally, he only had one person left to paint, Judas, the betrayer. So he started the search, looking for just the right person to sit for Judas, and he found him wandering around in the streets of Rome. The man's shoulders were bent over. He had a cold, hard, almost evil look on his face, and da Vinci knew right away this was the man who fit his image of Judas. When the man was brought into da Vinci's studio, he looked around as if he were confused. Finally, he turned to da Vinci with a sad look of discovery on his face. He said, "Maestro, I was in this studio 25 years ago, and it was then I sat for Jesus." I can only imagine what those last 25 years had brought to that man's life. Which look do we want years from now? The look of Judas or the look of Jesus? In order for us to have the look of Jesus, we need to see the whole picture. We need to see through the eyes of God and what God's intending for us. We need to see the palm branches and the hosannas and the coats laying on the ground, yes. We also need to see those moments of the cross, betrayers. It's all part of the picture. But it's not the whole picture. It is not the whole picture. The whole picture has the empty tomb. The whole picture has the resurrection. And the whole picture has the whole of our lives in that resurrection so we can have life, life everlasting. Today, we have seen the whole story. We know how it unfolds. We know what comes next, and we know how it ends. And we do not stand among the crowds hoping. We know. We know the story. We know Jesus is our Savior. We know he is the one we can count on. We know the power of his healing presence in our lives, how it saves us from what we're going through, and from having the look of Judas. Instead, the love of God through the palm branches and the cross and the empty tomb transforms us over and over again in our lives so we can have the look of Christ. And when we have the look of Christ, it means we can easily say, "Oh, you mean there's no baby dying? That's the best news I've heard all week." May we see with the eyes of God that we might have the look of Christ now and in years to come. Amen.
Our song of response this morning is "We Sang Our Glad Hosannas." You can remain seated. That's in your black books on 2111, number 2111. "We Sang Our Glad Hosannas." We're going to sing verses 1 through 4.
We sang our glad Please bow your heads with me in a time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, on this Palm Sunday morning, we recognize that this is beginning your passion, your Holy Week. And we come to this place with so many mixed feelings inside of us. This morning, we remember your son Jesus's triumphal entrance into Jerusalem, with people shouting praises and waving palm branches. And we join them with our own praises to you. At the same time, we remember that this wonderful parade quickly became another kind of parade, parading before officials and at disappointed, booing crowds. And instead of singing songs of Hosanna, there were shouts to crucify. Our hearts are broken by those very shouts and the pain and suffering Christ bore that day. Yet we know, because we can see the bigger picture, that it is truly because of Christ's decision to enter into Jerusalem and go down the path of the cross that death was defeated and sin was conquered. Because of that road that began that faithful day on Palm Sunday, we receive hope, love, and redemption from Jesus. So help us to be an Easter people, even in the midst of Palm Sunday decisions, those forks in the road that require great courage on our part. Help us to be an Easter people, even in the seasons of Good Friday, loss, sorrow, and grief. We ask you, Jesus, to bring that resurrection and light into our stories, into our church, and into our world. Draw us closer to you as we journey throughout this Holy Week. Empower us with strength and courage. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as the ushers come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings, I ask that whatever season of life our church family and our community is in, that these wonderful gifts of generosity would create an Easter morning resurrection for us all. Amen.